Hello, lovely podcast people. I'm back. This is a fairly off-the-cuff podcast. I'm just out of the gym. So it won't be hugely polished, but in line with what I kind of said I would try and do with this podcast was not do my silly thing of kind of perfectionism and trying to make... And I have achieved that fairly well over the last, whatever, 100 episodes, but yes, I am getting to that point where I just start to think I want to make every podcast this piece of evergreen, useful content that answers every single question on a topic, and it becomes paralyzing. So yes, I'm trying to hold myself to standards that are not too high so that it makes things achievable. And actually, what a good message that is for all walks of life. If my member of staff who is time pointing this wants to let me know what time point that was, write it down, remind me. That could be a good snippet or post or something. It's that old adage of, 80%, but being able to consistently do it is better than perfect and just not achieving at all. So yes, this podcast is just basically off the back of some musings I was having in the gym. So I was thinking about the new craze that is personalized nutrition. And not that it is too much of a new craze, I guess, but it's just big at the minute. I mean, almost two decades ago, I was researching the area of genetics. I interviewed one of actually the prominent geneticist who's kind of a bit sadly linked with this whole idea of calories aren't useful because if we cook at celery, it goes from 1 calorie to 17 calories. Like I said this in the office the other day, unless you're a celeritarian, shut the front door. Like, it's such a dumb thing, and it appeals to this fallacy that if something's not perfect, then it's useless. It's very, very silly. So, yeah, my research on genetics that I've discussed before, this was published in Experimental Physiology, is one of the polymorphisms that's mentioned around training. And then later I did my research on food, industry-funded research on food intolerance testing. And, it's that whole thing of it didn't pan out to work. And that was the answer then. And sadly, that's the answer today. So I'm super interested in how we might be able to use some sort of evidence-based, rigorous testing to be able to make very personalized recommendations for people. But sadly, they are not there yet. But it doesn't mean that people aren't going to be out there trying to make money out of it, as they have been for, forever, really. And it's very annoying, the whole metabolic typing, blood type, diets, all of these silly things have been around that sell us some kind of hope that we'll be able to know what is the thing that is holding us back from our results. And my Facebook at the minute, and I think this is why I was thinking about it in the gym on my phone, is... and this podcast ends up sounding a little bit edited at times. I apologize. I was ill about a month ago. The babies were ill and then they made me ill. And then I've retained this kind of, I'm told, some sort of lingering inflammation. Oh, there's a word in my lungs. And it's giving me a bronchial spasm, apparently. I've got an inhaler. We won't go into, no. Am I going to say that? Basically, a friend said to me, I took my inhaler in front of her and she was like, okay, that's hot. And I was like, what? And anyway, some sort of geek fetish going on there. She's like, have you got any spectacles you can put on? Anyway, I shouldn't have said that on the podcast. But anyway, so where was I? My Facebook is lingering, is littered with these adverts for, it's Sharon or Karen, or we'll call her Karen. Oh, Karen did this thing and, you can too. She was, send us your poo and put this stupid thing on your arm and we'll tell you what you can eat. And it's just, ridiculous, and I'm going to do, this is what I've, you know, I'm going to do a decent, well-referenced podcast where I can take you through the research on this topic. But I wanted to kind of explain just an upper level thing that might help some of you who are being led astray on this, or those of you who are, I know, coaches and nutritionists and whoever who follow me, maybe don't fully understand why it's wrong. You're kind of being convinced by the types of people investing in this or the types of people that are behind it. And this is my endeavor to just get something helpful out to you. In my younger days, when I didn't have children and multiple businesses to run, and I didn't necessarily need to have as much of a life as I want to have now, I would have been putting out content or left, right and center on this, because there's so much misinformation. But this is my attempt to at least get you something good, and a better podcast with more references will come along. Anyway, so I was thinking in the gym, well, do you know what? I could just, because I'm dieting at the minute, I could use myself as a test subject to show, you know, essentially I would take one of these silly tests, whichever it was, and look at what their feedback was, and then just as like an N equals one thing, go, as you can see, it made absolutely no difference personalizing my nutrition in this way. If anything, maybe worse, depending on what the kind of silly advice it came out with. So, yes, I was just considering that and thinking, well, what would it be helpful for people to understand? In fact, just to say that on the N equals one, because N equals one is not helpful, but these companies with enough money and enough marketing are selling this dream to people. And someone actually messaged me about a mum influencer. That's what she called her. I don't know if that's the PC term. But mum influencer who was kind of doing some work with one of these brands. I think it might have been Zoe, I'm not sure. And essentially said, you know, normally I shout about companies that I'm working with and when I think their product's great, but when it's not good and it's silly, I just don't talk about it. And as you know, I've not talked about this brand much, so take what you will from that. Essentially saying, you know, she's tried it and she's not a scientist, but she's used her common sense and the results she's getting and just realized, this is just a big marketing whirlwind, really, with big claims that aren't supported in, you know. But then you do have this situation, unfortunately, where people are changing their diet, because we'll take Karen, and Karen has been feeling really sluggish and whatever, menopausal symptoms, what, you know, whatever the thing is, and she wanted to lose, I don't know, and she took the tests and she sent us a poo and she stuck the thing on her arm and we did a little taste test and we've worked out that she should have carrots instead of dairy milk and you know, chicken instead of butter, so let's look at the results. And it's just this situation of someone who maybe wasn't eating very well. Very often with these things, it's like, eat whole grains, eat some protein, you know, eat some healthy fats, whatever. Don't eat loads of processed foods. Stop drinking sugary drinks, soft drinks, all these kind of things, which is just basic advice. It's not special to the person, but they will make it look personalized in one way or in another. And with some new food rules, someone who's been not eating very well then eats a bit better, feels a bit better. And then, wow, look at that. We've got a testimonial. But every Tom, Dick and Harry can get a testimonial. Joe Wicks is an example. Herbalife is another example. You help that many thousands of people and you will inevitably get a few hundred that get results. The types of people who really could be helped by anything, whatever they jump on, they will get results. And people who are even in a perpetual cycle of this just need the next thing to jump on. But whether or not it's actually going to get better results than the next thing is what we're talking about with personalized nutrition. So, you know, food intolerance testing is one that I have mentioned and I did research on, and it would be great. You know, it's a bit of a weird one. People go, oh, do you food intolerance testing when you don't eat the food you're not tolerant to, then you can lose fat. Like, it's not changing the energy balance equation, which is where that's really farcical. And I do have a podcast on that. I'll link it in the caption maybe. But it's really more linked around why degree qualified nutritionists often go down that route, selling a non-evidence-based method such as that. And typically it's because they don't learn how to help people. They learn a bit of science, they learn a bit of biochemistry. But really what you need to do, and this is what we do with MNU, is teach people to not only become an expert in nutrition and the sides of nutrition that matter, not reciting a metabolic pathway or something silly like that, or a chemical formula, but actually how to help someone. Not only becoming an expert in the nutrition theory, but then also becoming an expert facilitator, so understanding behavior change, understanding where the principles of whatever goal it is the person has, and then being able to impact those through certain dietary habits, certain dietary interventions, supplements, whatever those may be. But unfortunately, at the degree level, this is not taught very well. And so people end up down these routes trying to get someone to, look, I've taken some of your blood and I'm going to do this. And then you need to eat this way. But also at the same time, take all these supplements, and they make money. And then the person has spent all of this money and also been told these really specific things and to restrict all these foods, and they might lose weight, or they might feel a bit different. You know, especially with something like bloating, someone just is told to eat lots less of different things. They feel marginally better. But again, you know, as opposed to the situation where we're not trying to get buy-in by selling them something false. So again, an MNU student, what do they need to know? Well, they need to know, you know, in terms of nutritional counseling, how do I get buy-in from this person? I can't give them motivation. So I have to somehow, through my own supporting them and facilitating their journey, I need to be able to go, how can I get them over their own apathy to change in certain areas? How can I help them stick to these certain behaviors and these kind of things? That's why, you know, we get results and we don't need to get people to pay for these silly tests that don't have any evidence behind them. But yeah, it's in this situation where we've got these adverts, people are saying, I did this thing, I felt so much better. And, you know, I'm not saying it's made up. At the same time, it could well be made up. We have to keep that as part of our critical thinking of, there's nothing stopping. I don't know if you've seen these Fiverr testimonials people can buy. You know, it's just this beautiful woman with rather large breasts going around, you know, this minute she's, some dental product that she's used, and oh, this was absolutely amazing, doing her verbal, and the next minute she's doing some other testimonials to some weight loss thing, and she's on like about 17 different websites, but she's just there on Fiverr selling testimonials. So we have to keep that as part of the equation. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but you know, with our MNU testimonials, I'm so like, because we get such unbelievable testimonials, I'm like, right, what's their name, what country are they from, what's their occupation, our prospectus, it's like, right, can we put their Instagram handle, their website? So you go fact check us, you know, some of their Google handles are already there. So you can go and find their, you know, other testimonials or reviews they've written for other products. But, you know, some of them like, you know, this has changed my life. You know, oh, MNU says that it changed your life and you were able to change your career and you're earning more now than you earn your finance career. Is that true? Are they making that up? No, that's actually true. That's what I did. Or, you know, you says you did PN1 and PN2 and ISSN diploma or whatever it is, IOPN diploma. And, you know, only now do you feel confident to be able to actually help people and work with people and write these nutrition plans. Yeah, no, that's true. It's just the way that MNU teaches you. You know, all these things that we get told, I want to really be able to have that authenticity of like, this is what is being done for you. But anyway, it kind of sounds like I'm promoting MNU and that's why I'm bashing personalized nutrition, but that's not the case at all. I would be promoting anything where, as a nutritionist, it would make you a better practitioner. It would get your clients better results. It would be fantastic. I've always wanted, that's why I did all of that research, because I'm so drawn to that thing of like, because nutrition's so difficult for people. And part of being an educator myself, I sort of say to them, you won't be able to help everyone. Just leave them better than when they came to you, if they are one of those people. You know, continue them on a positive trajectory on their journey. It might not be the time for them to make those changes. So yes, these personalized nutrition companies, what they need to do, and when I do that better podcast, I will talk about some of the research in this area already and how it's really not stacking up very well for them. But what needs to happen to make it clear for you guys is this. You take someone, a group of individuals, 100 people, and you get 50 people. And given how much money these companies are making, they can afford this study very easily. So it's not like, oh, that would cost so much money. Trust me, they've got the profits to do it. But they'd rather spend that money on marketing than on this study, because they know that they would find nothing. You get your group of individuals that are going to come in, do the stool testing, the gut microbiome testing, the continuous blood glucose monitoring, and then you are going to make them specific dietary recommendations. And again, in a study, they would have to have the same goals. So we'll pick, whatever goal it is. And then you make the specific recommendations that your testing shows. Then your other 50 people, here's the problem. You can't have those 50 people like, oh, here's a leaflet, here's a self-help website, here's whatever. You have to give them the same level of dietary support that the tested group are getting. So they need to get a consultation as well. They need to get given direction of what to do, because personalized nutrition testing is not, you know, as I've sort of said, if you're eating like a moron and then you go and do this and then they tell you this basic advice, yeah, like you're going to feel better, but it's nothing to do with the testing. The advice that they're giving in this testing is just based on completely flawed principles. It's kind of 2 + 2 = 85 is what they're doing. Again, I'm not against the idea that in 5, 10, 15, 50 years, we might get somewhere with this testing. But, you know, when I was doing this research back then and interviewing these geneticists, you know, the thing was like, in 10, 20 years. And it's been, I don't know, like 16 years. And we're not there yet. We really haven't gone very far in that 16 years, if I'm honest. I want us to get there. But what needs to happen is then we give the group the personalized nutrition advice, and then we give the other group the advice. And let's say it's weight loss to keep it super easy. The weight loss group gets good dietary counseling, and they have something to track and this same stuff. The only difference in what they're being given, you know, this group, if they're giving any general information, the other group needs to be given it too. Any kind of accountability, they have to both be given it. And the only difference is this specific. Now, the other thing is, it's really difficult here because you have the placebo, because it's like you're making that specific. So in this situation, you want to go, well, I'm going to make this specific to the person. I'm going to work out their protein and tell them this is the amount of protein you should have approximately for your specific situation. And again, do the stuff that we would do as an MNU certified nutritionist. Like, I would love that. You give me 50 clients. They have 50 clients. We'll see who gets better results. And I'm not going to personalize anything. I'm going to put them on my protocol. And, you know, anyone who knows about my nutrition, it's very general. It's very non-specific. I don't tend to calorie count. There's no special macro splits. I had a DM just today saying, would you ever be interested in posting a day's eating? And I'm not necessarily against that, but it's just, I don't like it because I want people to understand principles. I would make so much more money if I was to do what these other people do. But I'm just not interested in that. I really want people to be empowered. You know, if people are too lazy to come and listen to the free advice that I give out, then they might as well give me their money, cool, but I just don't want to be the person that's taking people's money. I don't want to provide them that other avenue. It means I can still be, you know, mean about people who are dumb enough to just sell, you know, ridiculous, this is what I do, you should copy me, and they don't, you know, show all the drugs that they're taking and whatever, and what they really do, you know, buy my exercise plan, and it's not anything like their exercise plan, it's just, this is what gave me my glutes, yeah, sure. But, you know, my nutrition, no special macro splits because they don't do anything fancy. No special carb cycling because that doesn't do anything fancy. Nothing based on DNA, nothing based on food intolerance testing, personalized testing. No foods are restricted. All of these things. So just an evidence-based way of eating. But this is what I'm saying. It would be nice, even if I, you know, matched calories, if I did calorie count and did one with personalized where I, you know, wasn't allowed to eat certain foods because they didn't suit my gut microbiome or whatever. And the answer would just be, it's irrelevant. But yeah, this is the study that needs to be done, which I just don't think will ever happen because I feel like probably the scientists who have sold out to this, the professors who have sold out to this, know that it will show nothing. And they make these dubious links between epidemiology research and, you know, the whole continuous blood glucose monitoring, which is something I'm going to talk about more definitely, is that I want you guys to listen when these idiots talk. I say idiots, they're clever, but they're just gimps. Okay, I'll call them gimps because it's less specific. Because they don't lack intelligence, they just lack integrity. Or I do wonder sometimes if these professors, like, they've been doing epidemiology and they've been looking at people's poo too much, and they forget or just never knew anything about nutrition. Like, they've never worked with a client and changed their nutrition. And they just don't have this concept of, like, what they're looking at is so irrelevant to the real world. So there is that thing that maybe they're not idiots. But yes, I want you to listen to them carefully, because what they will so often do when talking about something like, let's talk about blood glucose, is they will jump from eating a food and then our blood glucose goes up. You know, if it's got carbohydrate in it, it's a perfectly normal response. And you can eat carbohydrate in every single one of your meals and your blood glucose will go up and your insulin will go up. And that's just all normal. When people eat very bad diets, and particularly, almost exclusively, but not exclusively, but the majority of the issue comes from a diet that leads you to gaining body fat, and particularly body fat in certain areas of your body, which, you know, other things around sleep and, alcohol and smoking and stress, different things, there's lots of interplay. But just if we can simplify into probably the biggest factor, which is gaining a lot of body fat over time, leads to then insulin resistance, which this is what happens. Well, then you eat glucose and you have your blood glucose goes up. And if we can test that, then we can help you, because we know that people that have consistently elevated blood glucose, what they're referring to there is people who are insulin resistant, who are pre-diabetic, who are diabetic. Now, that's a completely different scenario to you eating a food and appropriately breaking the food down, blood glucose going into your blood, and you being able to store that glucose, and then you're back to normal. That's a normal situation. They are creating or talking about it as though it's some sort of pathological situation to have your blood glucose go up, which is completely and utterly stupid or misleading, or we'll leave it there. I want you to listen to these people. They jump to that. They jump to insulin resistance. They jump to very high blood glucose spikes. I actually need to try and get his accent down. One of the ones that I particularly dislike, Tim Spector, I've mentioned a lot. I need to get his voice down, so that maybe at some point I need to stop saying his name when he starts sending me legal letters. Just because it's hassle, like, nothing I say is untrue. So it's a funny situation of, like, oh, I'll sue you. It's like, sue me for what? To sell me one thing that I've said that's not true. You can't sue someone for the truth. But I should try and get his accent down. But making these silly claims, again, just they're constant. The thing about, I'd rather people drank Coca-Cola than orange juice. Like, just making these claims, I think, really for publicity, for shock factor. And it would be okay if then the information was then correct after that. You know, I haven't got too much wrong with people using sort of clickbait headlines sometimes, but it's not. It's a clickbait headline to then sell something that doesn't work and isn't evidence-based. So look out for this use of relating the blood glucose response to a single food to actually the clinical situation of type 2 diabetes, or someone being insulin resistant and, you know, an inappropriate situation where actually the best thing that for that person is to do something that they can adhere to be in a calorie deficit, to lose body fat, which is what will raise insulin sensitivity. And you know, in the short term or in the long term, cutting carbs or, you know, eating foods that don't raise your blood glucose is not the answer. It doesn't work. We've been through 3 or 4 decades of research of going, you know, if we don't spike blood glucose, you know, glucose is the issue. Eat keto, eat low carb, do Atkins, do South Beach, do whatever. Like, we have the dead horse. We know it was irrelevant. We need to do anything, even MAPI diets, which are like, it's just some ridiculous vegan diet, I think. But I spoke about it when I, you know, debated Tim Noakes, and he couldn't quote a single piece of research to support his argument in an entire hour podcast, despite being an A-rated professor, researcher. Before anyone does these whole, oh, but he's an A-rated scientist, appeals to authority. So, yes, we've got all the research on that. We don't need to be micromanaging individual glucose responses. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, this was supposed to be a super quick podcast. I apologize, done my typical self. I'll be talking a lot more about personalized nutrition in my upcoming tour date in Dublin. For those of you who are coming, can't wait to see you there. If you haven't got a ticket to that, I'll again link in the bio. If you can make it, it'd be good. But again, I'll talk to you about exactly what matters. I can't remember, I was writing something, maybe an email the other day, but that's the whole point of my talk, really, really focusing people. Oh no, that's what it was. It was a testimonial that someone who came, and she had lost something insane, 55 kilograms since coming to my tour, and she was like, you've changed my life. And I was like, it's so nice that you're thanking me, but I don't really know why you are. Like, I can't have done this. You did this, well done. She was like, no, you did, like, your tour, everything, there's so many things I could tell you. And I said, if you've got the time, please tell me, like, type out what it is that you got from it, because I've even thought about interviewing on the podcast, because something clicked for her. And she just went through all of the things that I'd said. And I was like, oh, well, it's amazing that you've heard it, you've managed to apply it. Some of it is simply just the simplification. It's knowing what not to focus on, knowing the things that definitely matter, knowing when a certain thing happens, how you should adapt your nutrition, like workshop 2 on my tour talk, I go into this. But anyway, I hope that's been helpful for you. I will do another one probably a few more on personalized nutrition. If you have questions, message me on the podcast, email, Instagram, wherever, specifically around personalized nutrition. Is there, if there are any areas that you're confused, if you're a coach, if you're a nutritionist, if you're whoever, and you want to hear me talk in a specific area of it, because I really do think it's something that people are being misled on, which is why I'm going to try and just make the time to do a more comprehensive podcast. But it really helps me to have your input, you know, for almost subsections of what I'll talk about, what I have in my mind that people need to know, what they're not understanding. Anyway, until next time, much love.